Friends, this morning, if I were to tell you that I have walked on water, would you believe me? Well, I have. Let me explain. When I was in the Boy Scouts, every year we would go to a lake in Canada and camp and fish for a week. Now, at that campground, they had these things that you could rent called, bear with me, they were called Jesus boots. And what they were these styrofoam rectangles about 3 feet long and 10 inches wide with holes cut in them. And you could put your feet in there and then shuffle across the water. So, you see, I have walked on water. In today's gospel lesson, Peter walks on the water, but he does so without the aid of big styrofoam boots. We pick up our story right after Jesus has miraculously fed 5,000 people. And afterwards, he goes up into the mountains to be alone, to pray. And that's why he was there in the first place. Jesus had just received news that Herod had beheaded his cousin, John the Baptist. Upset, he goes out to the sea to be alone and pray. But some people heard that he was there, and they came seeking his teaching and his healing. Over 5,000 people were there that day. And as evening came and the people got hungry, having compassion on them, Jesus miraculously multiplied the loaves and the fish. However, as I said, Jesus originally came to be alone and pray, but he was interrupted. And now, even though it was late, he still had this desire, he still had this need to be alone and pray. And so he sends the disciples on ahead of him across the Sea of Galilee, saying, I will catch up with you later. He sends the people home. He goes up into the mountains to be alone. Now, we're not told what he prayed for, but news of John's death may have started him thinking about his own upcoming death on the cross. Verses 23 and 24 tell us that when Jesus finished praying, it was evening and getting dark, and the disciples had been well out to sea. The Greek reads that they were many stadia away. A stadia is approximately 200 yards, and scholars believe that at best guess, the disciples were about 2 miles out into the sea. Now, the Sea of Galilee is 8 miles wide, and so they're about a quarter of the mile or a quarter of the way across. And it is a bit stormy, we're told. We are told that the boat was being hit by waves. They are rowing against tough winds. And we know that they're tough winds because the story now moves to the fourth watch. The Romans divided the night into four watches between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. The fourth watch was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Now, they had left Jesus before dark, let's say 8 o'clock. And it's now at least 3 in the morning, so they have been fighting these winds for about 7 hours when Jesus appears to them walking on the water. And it scares them to death. It's dark. The water is rough. They're wet. They're cold. They're exhausted. And now, not only that, but there was a belief in those days that the sea was the abode of evil spirits. And they see this man walking across the water, coming toward them in the middle of the night, and it terrifies them. Their eyes bug out, their hair stands up on end, and they scream, "It's a ghost!" I find it interesting that the disciples have been struggling against this wind all night, but Jesus is just walking right across it. I don't know if the waves were parting for him or not, but it's very easy for him. And sensing their fear, Jesus immediately tries to calm them down by identifying himself, saying, "Don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter, being his impetuous and bold self, says, "Lord, if it really is you, then tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." Now, can you imagine this scene? okay? Peter's in this boat, and he grabs hold of the side of the boat. He's got one foot in the boat, and he's got the other one out there. He's testing the water. The waves are banging against the boat. The other disciples are on the other side holding it down so it doesn't flip over, and Peter does the impossible. He walks on water. Now, in the Old Testament, many people had performed water miracles. Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha. But up to this point, only God in the person of Jesus Christ had walked on water, and now Peter does it. But, then something distracts Peter. It distracts his focus, breaks his concentration. Remember, the waves have not stopped. I don't know what happened, but have you ever been standing along the seashore, just standing there in the waves, and all of a sudden a big wave comes up and smacks you and knocks you down? Maybe that's what happened to Peter. One of those waves really nailed him. But in any case, we're told that he felt the wind and saw the waves that they were making, and he got scared. And immediately he began to sink into the depths of the black water. And he cries out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him and raises him back out of the depths of the water. Like our psalmist said this morning, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me and drew me out of the deep water." Now, at this point, I'm reading this, and I'm excited. This is exciting stuff. And I'm like, okay, what happens next? And you know what happens next? He says to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I'm like, wait, what? Little faith? Come on, man. It was by faith that Peter got even attempted to step out of that boat. He's holding on for dear life in the boat, and then he gets out of it. What do you mean, little faith? It was by faith that Peter walks on the water. We don't know for how far he went, but he did it. Although he sinks, Peter does something that even the great prophets of old had never done. He does something that only God has done. What do you mean, you of little faith? Peter probably had more faith in Jesus at that time than anyone up to that point. Why would Jesus say this to Peter? Well, maybe it's because of Peter's past experiences. Peter was in the boat the last time a storm came up, and he saw Jesus wake up from his sleep and calm the storm. Perhaps Jesus was saying, "Peter, don't you remember the last time we were in a storm and I saved you? Did you doubt that I could do it again?" And you see, Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat, and he walked on the water, but he didn't have enough faith to sustain himself when he was opposed by the waves. Friends, faith can be real, it can be true, but it can also be weak at times. And so Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith." Perhaps the word little here has less to do with the amount of faith Peter had and more to do with the maturity of Peter's faith. But what caused Peter's faith to falter? Well, it was his concentration. His focus was broken by distractions of his circumstances. The waves distracted his thoughts and his focus. Jesus asked, "Why did you doubt?" And the word doubt in Greek means to be of a double mind, to be thinking of different things at the same time, distracted. It's kind of like the old Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons. You know, the coyote is chasing the roadrunner. They're speeding across the land, and they run right off a cliff. And as long as the coyote is keeping his focus on the roadrunner, as long as he's not distracted, he's just running on air, right? But the minute that he loses his focus, the minute something distracts him and he realizes that he's doing the impossible, what happens? He falls, right? He falls. The same was true with Peter. As long as he focused on Jesus, he walked on top of that water. But when he was distracted by the waves and they reminded him of the storm, he lost all focus and he sank. His faith was strong, but not strong enough to overcome the distractions. And the same is true of us as well. And that is why Paul told the Hebrew people, he said, keep your eyes on the prize. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Peter's faith was real, but in comparison to what was awaiting to oppose him in the days, weeks, years to come, to distract him, it was small. It was lacking. It was imperfect. His faith was enough to get him walking on the water, but not enough to hold him there. He needed to keep his eyes fixed on Jesus, for it is he who gives us faith. And the longer we focus on him, the stronger and more perfect our faith becomes. But Satan, oh, Satan, he puts so many distractions, temptations into our lives, and they are all designed to take our focus off of Christ. Satan's temptations aren't always temptations to sin, but more so to distract us from Christ. If our focus is on Christ, then we're going to be less likely to sin because our faith will be strong. But if we get distracted, our faith falters, and we open ourselves up to sinning. You know, so many times in the church, we quarrel and we have arguments over the silliest and pettiest things. The color of the carpet, where the painting of Jesus is going to be, what kind of songs are we going to use? And you know, as long as we are distracted by these little silly things, we're not out there making disciples. Shane Claiborne said, if the devil can't steal your soul, he'll keep you busy doing meaningless church work. Distractions. Now, join back with me. We're at the climax of this story. After Jesus saves Peter, he gets him back in the boat, and immediately the waters calm down. And when they see this happen, the disciples, they worship Jesus, and they confess, truly, you are the Son of God. Twice now, Jesus has demonstrated his mastery over the sea. And if they really believe that the sea was the home of evil spirits, then Jesus has the power to control the world of evil. And this is the first time that the disciples call Jesus the Son of God. But I don't think they fully understood that, what they were confessing. In their astonishment, they professed this. I think they saw him as a man of God, much more in the way of the great prophets, but not as the divine one, not as incarnate. That only happened after the resurrection. But this is only the beginning of their understanding of who God is. Now, as I read this, I kept asking myself, why did Peter get out of that boat? Why did Peter make such a request? Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Why didn't he say, Lord, if it's you, calm the waves like you did the last time? Peter's already scared to death in the boat. Why in the world does he want to get out of the boat? Is it a test for Jesus? I don't believe that's so, because he called him Lord. Peter recognized Jesus, and after witnessing many miracles and doing them himself, this isn't a situation that he needed to believe Jesus was who he said he was. Was it because he wanted to be part of this great moment? I don't think so, because I don't think he was aware of the importance of this moment. I think Peter got out of that boat because he was growing up, spiritually growing up and maturing in his faith. Peter was a fisherman by trade, and most likely so was his father, because most people learned their trade from their fathers. Peter most likely physically grew up in a boat, going out as a boy with his father on fishing excursions, and as he got older, daily. And I think Peter spiritually grew up in a boat as well. More than any other disciple that we hear about, Peter is the one who is in boats. At least, there are at least four significant stories. In Luke 4, we are introduced to Peter when Jesus goes to his home because his mother-in-law is suffering from a high fever. There, Jesus miraculously heals her. A day or two later, Jesus is in Galilee by the sea, and he's teaching the people. And as the crowds get bigger, Jesus gets backed up against the edge of the water, and people can't see him, they can't hear him. And so he gets into a boat that we're told by Luke was owned by Peter. Peter takes him a little farther out into the water, and Jesus continues to teach. When Jesus finished teaching, he asked Peter to put out his nets. Now, Peter is the fisherman here, not Jesus. Peter is the one who's been out all night long and didn't catch anything. But Peter does as Jesus instructed, perhaps out of gratitude for what Jesus did for his mother-in-law. And do you remember what happened? They caught so many fish, the nets began to rip. They called two more boats out, and those boats were sinking in the water. They were so full of fish. And Peter, the spiritual babe that he was, realizes that Jesus is special, and he is not. There in that first boat, Peter says, "Lord, go away from me. I am a sinful man." In that first boat, Peter wants to put distance between himself and Jesus. Jesus then became a follower of Jesus, and not long after that, we find Peter in another boat, in a storm. This is a rough storm, and these seasoned fishermen are afraid that they're going to die. Meanwhile, Jesus is just sleeping peacefully like a rocking baby in the waves. They wake him up and they said, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Jesus gets up and simply says, "Be still." And the winds and waves immediately become calm. Now, in this second boat, Peter doesn't want to get away from Jesus, but like the other disciples, he's wondering, what kind of man is this? He wants to stick around. He wants to figure out who Jesus is. Then the third time we find Peter in a boat is in today's lesson. And now Peter wants to go to Jesus. Yes, he has his hesitations. Yes, he has some doubts. He's a little bit afraid, but he goes. However, because he's still growing, he sinks. And the next time we find Peter in a boat in the Gospels is after Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus has appeared several times to Peter and the others. For many days, they sat around wondering, what are we going to do next? Where do we go from here? And one day, as they were sitting along the Sea of Galilee, Peter has had enough. He gets up and he says, "That's it. I can't just sit here anymore. I'm going fishing." And six of the other disciples go with him. They fish all night long, they catch nothing, and as they're coming back into the shore in the morning, they see a man standing on the shore who has built a fire. Now, maybe it's because it's still dark, or maybe there's a little bit of morning fog or mist, but they can't tell who this man is. The man asks them if they caught anything, and when they tell him no, he tells them, "Put your nets down on the right side of the boat." They did, and they caught 153 large fish. They couldn't even get all the fish in the boat. Now, perhaps remembering that this has happened before, John gets it, and he says, "Peter, that's the Lord." And when Peter heard that, without shame, without hesitation, without wonder, without fear, without doubt, he jumps out of the boat, and he races to Jesus. Peter's grown up. He went from wanting to be as far away from Jesus as possible to now where he wants him so much, he's willing to jump out of a boat. As Peter matured in his faith, as he spiritually grew up, his desire to be with Jesus also grew. Why did Peter want to get out of that boat in the storm? I think he just had a great desire to be with Jesus. He wanted Jesus, and his desire was to be with him, and it overpowered his fear and of the waves. His desire to be with Jesus overpowered his fear of doing the unknown, of doing the impossible. Peter simply sees Jesus and wants to be with him and worship him. And friends, that's how it should be with us as well. We should desire Jesus so strongly that when we see him, when we sense his presence, we should fix our eyes on him and focus on him and run to him regardless of the obstacles that are in our way. We need to be willing to step out of our boat and into the unknown. And if we find that we're in trouble, we just need to call out to Jesus, and he will reach down from his place on high and pull us up out of the deep water. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus, the Son of God, who multiplied the loaves and fish, who walked on water, who saved Peter, who calmed the storms, this same Jesus is alive today, and he is the Lord of our church. And he will also be with us when we step out of our boats in faith, and in our times of doubt and fear, he will save us. There were 12 men in that boat that night, and only one got out, Peter. Peter lived a life of reckless abandon, and got a lot of times it got him in trouble, but it also made him perfect to be an evangelist of the good news of Jesus Christ. Because as Peter's faith increased, his fear decreased, and he wasn't afraid to get out of the boat. My friends, what about you? Do you desire to be with Jesus enough to risk getting out of the boat? You know, who knows what the name of this part of the church is that we sit in each Sunday? This area is called the nave. We get our word navy from this word because it means boat. And the reason it's called that is if you look at the old cathedrals, if you even take a look at our ceiling this morning, this picture of our ceiling, what does it look like? It looks like the bottom of a boat, the bottom of a ship. It is the nave, the boat. My question for you this morning is, can you get out of it? Who do you identify with in this story? Peter, who got out of the boat? Or are you one of the other 11? Are you sitting in your boat, terrified of the Christian life out there? So many people think that when they get in the boat, when they join the church, that they're safe, that they're saved. But there are so many people who have been sitting in a pew in the boat most of their lives and aren't necessarily safe. You see, the church is not our salvation. The church, you know, can't save us. The church was designed to deliver us, to transport us to the one who can. Jesus didn't stay in the church. Jesus got out of the boat and he walks in the world and he goes into the dark places and bring light to the lost, and he calls us to do the same. He stands out in the rough places, in the storms of life, and he says to us, come, come to me. Who do you identify with in this story? I hope it's Peter, or I hope we're all growing into a Peter-like disciple, fixing our eyes on Christ and getting out of the boat. Peter grew that day. He grew as a disciple. He grew in his faith. And that's the only way we're going to grow as well. Friends, I know it can be hard out there. I know it can be scary. It can be disappointing out there in the world. But our desire to serve and be with Christ needs to overpower our doubts and our fears. And we desperately need to run to Christ, to be by His side, and believe that if the waves of life come crashing in on us, that Christ will save us. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, and we need to fix our eyes on Him and get out of this boat. Amen? Amen. My friends, choose this day whom you will serve.